Before we launch into our topic, just a little chuckle, maybe. There was a member of a Baptist family who died while the pastor was out of town. Family asked the local Methodist minister if he would conduct the funeral. He said he would have to check with his bishop. And so he wired the bishop and said, "Is it all right for me to bury a Baptist?" The bishop wired back and said, "Sure, bury all the Baptists that you can." Our topic today is freedom from frustration. It's easy to live frustrated because somebody's not doing what we want, discouraged because of a disappointment, upset because a dream didn't come to pass. Well, I've learned that God, or Krishna, he doesn't remove every frustration. He doesn't change every person that we don't like. He doesn't take away everything that's bothering us. Scripture says, "Be still and know that he is God." That implies that if we're not still, if we're upset, worried, and frustrated, we're not going to know God in our lives. I think you'll agree with me that most of the time that we're frustrated, it's because we're trying to change things that only Krishna or God can change. I'm trying to be God and fix things that I have no control over whatsoever. Like people, for instance. You can't make people do right. You can't even sometimes make yourself do the right thing. If you're trying to control everything, you're going to be frustrated. No doubt about it. You need to learn to turn it over to Lord Krishna. Do what you can and then let him take care of the rest. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pastor and author Leith Anderson, as a boy, grew up outside of New York City. And during those years, he was an avid fan of the old Brooklyn Dodgers. And one day, his father took him to a World Series game between the Dodgers and the Yankees. He was so excited. He just knew that the Dodgers would trounce the Yankees. Unfortunately, the Dodgers never got on base, and his excitement was shattered. Years later, he was in a conversation with a man who was a sports encyclopedia. Lee told the man about attending this World Series game and added, "It was such a disappointment. I was a Dodgers fan and the Dodgers never got on base." And the man said, "You were there? You were at the game where Don Larsen pitched the first no-hitter in all of World Series history?" "Yeah," Anderson replied, "but we lost." And then he realized that he'd been so caught up in his team's defeat that he missed out on the fact that he was witness to a far greater event, the first perfect game in the history of the World Series. Now then he wrote, quote, "I wonder how often the same thing happens to us. We get so caught up in the defeats in our lives, the times when things don't turn out the way we want them to. We're depressed because an illness continues to linger, or when people don't treat us the way that we think they ought to, or when we face financial difficulties. And what happens, we're so blinded by the pain and the disappointment of our defeat that we fail to appreciate the fact that we might be witness to something far greater that God is doing in our lives. Don't let temporary disappointments blind you to the good that Krishna is doing in your life. And don't assume that any disappointment is God's last word on the situation. Life is too short to live frustrated because we're not getting our way. Life is too short to live frustrated because something unfair has happened. Lord Krishna would not have allowed it if it was going to keep you from your purpose. It's a test. Are you going to let it steal your joy? Are you going to let it cause you to get stressed out? Or are you going to be still and know that he is God? God's not changing it. Then you have to be mature enough to say, Krishna, I don't like it, but if you've allowed it, I'm going to stay in peace and enjoy my life. The real victory is not when Lord Krishna does everything that you want. The real victory is not when Lord Krishna removes all your frustrations. The real victory is when those things happen, but it doesn't what? Bother you anymore. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because you're at peace, because you know that Lord Krishna is in control. The great epic, as you know, the Ramayana, begins with the betrayal of Ram by his stepmother Kaikeyi. On the evening before he was to be coronated as the king by his father Dasarath, Kaikeyi arranged to have him sent to the forest for 18 years of exile. Talk about a 180 degree turn of fortune. Ram hadn't done anything to deserve this betrayal. He could have been taken aback. He could have been shocked or disappointed, angry, but no. He knew what I'm telling you. We can't control our situations. We can't control other people. But what we can control is our reactions to them. Right in the Ramayana, it says this. Ram kept his own feelings in check and maintained a calm expression. He spoke gently, assuring his father that he would certainly enjoy his stay in the forest. He would sport happily with Sita in the many delightful woods and groves. Protected by his weapons, there would be no fear from the beasts and the rakshasas of the forest. When 14 years had passed, the king would find them returned unharmed and ready to serve him again. Think about that. In the hour when Ram had the greatest provocation, had the greatest betrayal, where were his thoughts? They were for others. He consoled his father and mother. I shall only be happy the moment I enter the forest. You need not feel any pain for me. Be peaceful, my parents, and allow me to leave. And at this point, Dasarath had an idea, because he was really angry at Kaikeyi. So he says to Sumantra, his minister, immediately order my army and get them ready to depart. They should accompany Ram to the forest. Assemble thousands of capable servants and prepare them to leave. Also, indeed, you should arrange for my entire treasury and granary to be transported along with Ram. He should not have to endure any austerity during the 14 years of exile. So, naturally, Kaikeyi's dismayed about this, and she turns towards Dasarath, and she says, with her mouth parched and her voice choked, how can you bestow upon my son Bharat a kingdom stripped of its wealth? How then will he actually be the ruler as you promised? And the king turned angrily towards Kaikeyi, O hostile and vulgar woman, when asking for boons, you should have stipulated that Ram could not take anything with him to the forest. And I also can't stay here with you any longer. Along with the people of Ayodhya, I shall follow Ram to the forest. Well, who do you think stepped into the breach? The person most affected, of course, Lord Ram. He says, O great king, of what use to me is an army and all of your riches? I have renounced the kingdom. How then can I take its wealth? I'm resolved to enter the forest and dwell there with the ascetics, wearing the bark of trees and living on whatever produce I can glean from day to day. 14 years will pass quickly, even while you sleep. You'll rise one morning before you know it to find me returned with Sita and Lakshman. And then it describes Ram looked at all the royal ladies standing there and said, please forgive any unkind words or acts which I may have said or done out of ignorance, because we have lived closely together. Now I take leave of you all. Ram's poise and equanimity have been a beacon against frustration for thousands and thousands of years. There are times, and they're quite often, when things in our lives don't work out how we want them. The people we were counting on weren't there for us. The medical report wasn't good. The dream isn't happening on our timetable. We could be frustrated. We did the right thing. We stayed in faith, but it's not working out. You have to do what Rama did. Tell the disappointment. Tell the frustration. I know that God is still on the throne. Nothing is a surprise to him. I know he's fighting my battles, and he's going to get me to where I'm supposed to be. Maybe tonight there's some things that you need to back off from. That person that you've been trying to change, no matter how hard you try, they just won't do what you want. It's time to back away. You can't control people. You can't make them do what's right. Pray for them. Be respectful, but don't go the next 30 years letting them frustrating you. Here's a tip. You don't need all the people in your life that you think you need. Lord Krishna has already lined up the right people to come into your life and help you reach your destiny. You don't have to play up to anybody. You don't have to manipulate anybody. You don't have to convince anybody to like you. Sometimes we're frustrated by people who are never going to be for us. We're spending all this energy trying to win them over, and no matter how good we are to them, every time we need them, they're asleep, they're busy, they're not interested. Have you ever heard the saying, don't swim across an ocean to be good to someone that wouldn't walk across a puddle to be good to you? We're all for overcoming evil with good, blessing our enemies. But it is also said, don't cast your pearls before swine. What is your pearl? It's your gift. It's your personality. It's your anointing. It's who Lord Krishna made you to be. Some people aren't going to value your pearl no matter what you do. They're not going to respect your gift. They won't recognize what you have to offer. Now, your time is too valuable to waste it with people that discount your pearl. Don't hang around people who try to minimize you, talk you down, lessen you. You feel like you have to prove to them who you are, prove to them why they should be your friend. Listen, you don't need their approval. You have Almighty God's approval. He breathed his life into you. He crowned you with favor. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. Hang around people that celebrate your pearl. Hang around people that polish your pearl. Hang around people that respect your pearl. Look for people who love you for who you are and not what you can do for them. Find people who inspire you to go further. People who will bring out the best in you. People who will cause your pearl to shine. Here's the key. If someone doesn't support you, you don't need them for this season. If they're not giving you what they used to give you, that means that Krishna is now taking you to a higher level. He's weaning you off the support, off the encouragement. You're coming through. It's like a little baby. They love to have their bottle, makes them comfortable, makes them feel secure, and that's fine as long as they're a year or two old. But if they're 47 years old and walking around with a bottle, would you agree with me that that's a cause for concern? As parents, when we take the bottle away from our children, they do not like it. They scream, they yell, they throw a fit, they're uncomfortable. But we do it so their growth is not limited. Sometimes Lord Krishna, out of parental love, will make you feel uncomfortable. He'll take something away that you were used to. A friend who always called and encouraged you. A co-worker who always helped you with the reports. A neighbor you could always count on to go somewhere together. It's because Krishna is, so to speak, weaning you off that bottle. As long as you're dependent on people, it's going to limit how high you can go. And when Lord Krishna removes the support, when he takes away someone that you're used to, don't get mad at them. Don't keep trying to wake them up. Just step around them. You can't open a door that Lord Krishna has closed. You do not move ahead by constantly looking in the rearview mirror. The past is a rudder to guide you, not an anchor to drag you down. We must learn from the past, but not live in the past. Or, to put it yet another way, the past is a guidepost, not a hitching post. That friend is not there anymore. That disappointment, that betrayal, you may not like it. It may be painful, but it is ordained by God. You have to recognize that it's a sign you're coming up higher. That discomfort means that you're going to a new level, and not everyone who's with you now is going to be able to go where you're going. Some people are like scaffolding. They come into your life for a season to help you out, to help you reach a certain level. But at some point, Christian's going to remove the scaffolding so that you can shine. It's not that they're not good people, but their part in your story is over. Krishna is taking you to a higher level. Quit being frustrated by someone who's not supporting you like they used to. Well, true, why don't they call me anymore? Why don't they compliment me like they used to? Your attitude should be, I love you, I respect you, but I don't have to have your support, your compliments, your encouragement. I've stepped aside, and that's all right. They supported you for a season. Now that season is over. Like a completed building, once the scaffolding is taken away, you're going to need to encourage, to support, and to inspire yourself. In life, we all go through losses. Join the club. Disappointments, betrayals. We all have our Kaikeis. We all have our Judas Iscariots. But I've learned that if you stay in faith, God gives you grace for every unfair situation. It's very freeing when you can look at the people that have stepped aside, when you can look at the disappointment and say, I'm past that now. It's very freeing when you recall that betrayal and think, I forgive them. I don't have a grudge. I'm better off for having moved past them. I wish them well, but they're no longer a part of my destiny. Now, amazing things are up ahead if you don't stumble on the past. There will be crosses to bear. There will be betrayals. There will be setbacks. They pop up in front of you, and you need to step around them. Moving forward towards resurrections, new beginnings. There will be times when Krishna not only pays you back for what was unfair, but there will be times when Krishna pays you back with interest, where he catapults you years ahead of where you would have been otherwise. Sir Alexander Mackenzie was a Canadian hero. In 1789, Mackenzie attempted to find a water route to the Pacific. His valiant group followed a mighty river, now named the Mackenzie, with high hopes. They paddled furiously for weeks amid great danger. Unfortunately, the river did not empty into the Pacific, but into the Arctic Ocean. And in his diary, Mackenzie called it the River of Disappointment. Not to be discouraged, however, 4 years later, he accomplished a magnificent feat when he led an expedition across Canada from Fort Chipewyan on Lake Athabasca to the Pacific Ocean. His incredible journey was completed 11 years before Lewis and Clark began their famous expedition to the West. Mackenzie had decided that past defeats were not going to stop him. He caused them to step aside. He knew God wouldn't allow anything that's not going to somehow or other move you towards your future. Maybe you need to tell some aspects of your past, get behind you. You had a tough childhood. You went through a rough divorce. You lost a loved one. Tell the hurts. Tell the questions. Tell the favors. I've moved past you now. Here's a key. You're either feeding your history or you're feeding your destiny. You can't feed both. You're either looking back, living in regrets, thinking of everything that went wrong, or you're looking ahead saying, Krishna, I know that was what was meant for harm. You're turning to my advantage. I know that you have beauty for those ashes. I know that weeping endures for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Start feeding your destiny. Lord, I thank you that your plans for me are good. Thank you that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. Thank you that you hold victory in store for the upright. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you'll get your mind going in the right direction, then your life will go in the right direction. Joyce Holliday tells the story of a school teacher who was assigned to visit children in a large city hospital. She received a routine call requesting that she visit a particular child. She took the boy's name and room number and was told by the teacher on the phone, "We're studying nouns and adverbs in this class now. It'd be great if you could help him with his homework so he doesn't fall behind the others." It wasn't until the visiting teacher got outside the boy's room that she realized it was located in the hospital's burn unit. No one had prepared her to find a young boy horribly burned in great pain, hovering between life and death. The teacher felt she couldn't just turn around and walk out, and so she stammered awkwardly, "I'm the hospital teacher, and your teacher sent me to help you with nouns and adverbs." The session, she thought, was a total disaster. The boy was in so much pain that he barely acknowledged her presence. She just muddled through his English lesson, actually ashamed at putting him through what she thought was a senseless exercise. Next morning, she got a call from the nurse on the burn unit. "What did you do to that boy?" So she started with this long litany of apologies and excuses. The nurse interrupted her. "No, you don't understand. We've been very worried about him. It seemed like he had lost his will to live. But ever since you were here yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's like he's turned everything around." The boy himself later explained that he had indeed completely given up hope until he saw the teacher. That all changed when he came to a simple realization. With joyful tears, the boy said they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a boy who was going to die, would they? So this story invites us to celebrate the gift of life, even when all we see around us is pain and disappointment and brokenness. It shows us that on the other side of pain, there is new beginnings, resurrection. It reminds us of what is possible when there's hope. What happened with this boy? He quit feeding his history and he started feeding his destiny. If you feed your history long enough, it'll pull you into depression. Maya, the enemy, would love to keep you so focused on your hurts and what didn't work out that you're too discouraged to move forward. Don't fall into that trap. You would not be alive today unless Krishna had something amazing out in front of you. You may be in the hospital burn unit, a place of discouragement, frustration, but if you'll say, "I'm moving on," and start thinking some new thoughts, then you're headed for new beginnings. You're headed for a place of restoration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The longer I live, the easier it is for me to say to frustrations and to say to disappointments, "Step aside. I may not understand it. It may not make sense, but one thing I've learned is that God is a whole lot smarter than me. He can see things that I can't see. He knows what he's doing." You don't understand why God won't answer that prayer. You don't understand why the dream is taking so long. Maybe it's because Krishna can see something that you can't see. He does have your best interest at heart. If he's not giving you what you want, means he has something better. He loves you too much to let you miss your destiny. What am I saying? The things that you're frustrated about today, if you stay in faith, one day you'll look back and say, "Wow, Krishna, you outdid yourself. I never dreamed I'd meet somebody this great. I never dreamed I'd feel this healthy. I never dreamed that you would take me this far." Prabhupada says here in the 11th canto, 20th chapter, 18th verse, "The inevitable result of material sense gratification is disappointment and pain that sears the heart. One becomes gradually hopeless and despondent in material life. Then Receiving good instructions from the Lord or his devotee, one transforms one's material disappointment into spiritual success. Actually, Prabhupada says here, Lord Krishna is our only true friend, and this simple understanding can bring one to a new life of spiritual happiness in the company of the Lord. Krishna's plan for your life is so much bigger than your own. The real question is, what will you do when your friends aren't there for you? When the contract doesn't go through? When your husband divorces you? A lady wrote a devotional, which was printed in the upper room. It begins like this. When my husband of 32 years left me quite suddenly, I was devastated. So I sat in church the following Sunday, and I heard the minister read, quote, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before." I was reminded of the valedictory address I gave in high school, and I had quoted those same words, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before." That was pretty good advice. Forgetting is not easy. But I prayed to God for direction in the forgetting and reaching out process. I discovered delightful new paths, new doors opened. I volunteered in a nursing home. I became the activities director. I received certification by attending night schools. Now I have a huge new family and all its attendant joys. 6 years later, I thank God for restoring the joy in my life by giving me the courage to forget and reach forward. We love it when everything's going great, but unfortunately, it's not when we grow the most. Frustration is the soil out of which you can grow. Disappointment is the earth out of which you can be promoted. Krishna's just seeing what you're made of. He's seeing if you're ready. If you'll stay in peace and pass the test, if you'll be still and know that he is God, then he will take you to your new beginnings. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The way that you know that you're ready to be promoted is not that Lord Krishna has removed all your difficulties. The way that you know you're ready to be promoted is that you don't let the difficulties bother you or frustrate you anymore. Finishing up here, I read about a lady who was complaining about everything that had gone wrong that day. And she said, "Krishna, why did you let so many bad things happen? My alarm went off. I was late for work. At lunch, they made the wrong sandwich and I had to send it back. Driving home, my cell phone dropped the call in the middle of the conversation. To top it off, when I got home, I wanted to put my feet in the foot massager, but it wouldn't turn on." Krishna said to her, "All right, let's go down the list. Your alarm didn't go off because it was a drunk driver on the road. I delayed you on purpose so that you wouldn't be harmed. You had to send your sandwich back because the first person that made it wasn't feeling well. I didn't want you to catch what they had, so I had somebody else make you a new one. The cell phone dropped a call because the person was about to fill you with gossip, and I didn't want you to be contaminated. And let's talk about the foot massager. It had a short in it. If you would have turned it on, it would have knocked out the power. I didn't think that you wanted to sit around home in the dark all night long." Now, here's the question. Could it be that what's frustrating you is really the hand of God? Could it be that he's behind the scenes doing things that you can't see for your good, protecting you, guiding you, positioning you? Nothing happens, not a sparrow falls from the sky, not a blade of grass moves without God's permission. We're not always going to understand it, but that's when you have to trust him. You may be in disappointment today. You may have a good reason to be upset or frustrated. I'm asking you to tell the frustration, tell the past, tell the setback, step aside. It may not be fair, but God sees what's happening. He has you in the palm of His hand. He's breathing in your direction right now. Don't give up. You're close to your breakthrough. You're close to a new level. If you'll pass these tests of disappointment and frustration, I believe you're going to come into the fullness of your destiny. You're going to see promotion. You're going to see healing. You're going to see restoration, vindication. Krishna is going to turn your frustration into favor. You're going to rise higher, accomplish dreams, and become everything that He's created you to be in this life. And in the next life, you're going to go back to home, back to Godhead. Thanks very much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.